will, in your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 12, the Christian race. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. I've been running now the race of life, and it's not always been easy. But I believe Paul was a lover of sports, and I like sports. I like baseball. I like football. I like golf. There's just not many of them I don't like. I don't go to the games too much, but I sit at home watching them on television. It's a lot cooler that way. But I enjoy watching the physical part of the game, where the people are just playing their hearts out and they're all wrapped up. I love to watch the Olympics, and I like the Summer Olympics. I like the racing and things like that. Those guys are well trained, and I think Paul must have liked them also. Here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he compares life to a race. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for life that you give us. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement we find so many times right here in the word of God. And Lord, we just give you praise for it today. Let us be encouraged to run. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, we're in a race tonight. You're in a race, whether you know it or not, a race of life. I had a birthday today. It's been a great day, and I thought today, well, you've made it to 66. Now what? You know, what's next? And I was thinking today, 67, yeah, maybe 67. But, you know, I was thinking, well, the big thing next is death, isn't it? Death. Think about it. It's been appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. After the race, it's been appointed. But you know, death shouldn't frighten us. We do everything we can to cover it up, but death shouldn't frighten us if we're in the race. You see, to be in a race, you got to have a starting point. And I believe with all my heart, 1975, I started the race, the eternal race, that God has given me to run. Every single one of us have a race to run in our life. He's called you. You got a purpose in your life. Now, whether you're running it good or whether you're entered into that race not by the gift of salvation, you see, that's how we enter the race that is heaven bound. Now, the Bible talks about another road you can travel. It's not heaven bound. It's the road to destruction. But I like to think about running on the race to heaven. Because it is a joy. They think about how beautiful heaven must be. The Bible tells us about heaven over in Revelation. Folks, it is going to be a blessed place. It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth singing praises to our Lord and Savior. I don't believe you're just sitting around on the cloud, floating around on the cloud for all eternity. I believe we'll be serving and praising God, enjoying every minute. Oh, yeah, we're going to see loved ones, but, you know, we're going to see those that have gone on before us that are in Christ. You always have to think about being in Christ, for if you're not in Christ, you're not going to enjoy heaven. So the starting point is with salvation. That's where you jump into the race of life. When God calls you and you, by faith, trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you get in a race. For me, it was 1975 at Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk. I bet you know when it was for your life. How many of you know? Raise your hand. The date? Yeah, it left a mark on you, didn't it? A lot of you. You know the date. You know the hour. You probably know the scripture for those things stick in your mind. And there you got on that race and entered into that race. And it's a starting point. It's called being born again into the kingdom of God, where you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you're not on, if you hadn't started that, if you hadn't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not in the race to heaven, and you need to start that tonight. You know, it's only too late when you breathe your last breath. Then it's too late. Today is the day of salvation in our lives. Today is that starting point in our life. Becoming a Christian, it means all the difference how you see this world. It makes all the difference how you see death. It makes all the difference in how you run the race of life. For the woman at the well, it was when she asked the Lord for that drink of water. And he said, ma'am, I'll give you a drink that you won't thirst again. And man, I tell you what, for the publican, it was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For the man on the cross, it was said, Lord, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. When was it for you? When was it for you? And if you can't say, preacher, I haven't started that race, then tonight it can be that starting point in your life. You see, somebody said, well, you're probably preaching to Christians tonight, preacher. Well, you never know. You never know. We're never sure sometimes who's in our service or if we're even Christians. I said this morning, a lot of people in church are lost in church. And then there's rules to follow. It requires faith. Trusting Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the part we need. You know, wouldn't it be silly to enter a race and say, well, I don't think I can win? I was watching the golf game today. I like golf. Wouldn't it be silly to even play the game if you never thought you could win? Brent Snedeker won today, and you know he's won before, but you know he's one of the lesser-known golfers. But I just imagine when he started that first golf game back on Thursday. They always play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday evening. When they started that game, I just imagine he thought, you know, I've got an opportunity to win this thing, or he wouldn't be playing. We must enter the race by faith and trust God to win the race of life. Faith to faith, we trust God to run. If you don't have any faith, you're not going to make it in the race of life. The person would be doomed to start if they didn't believe in the words of God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe every word that God says in His Bible. I tell you, some people say, well, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if that. Hey, I know it's right because it's been right. God has never told me an untruth. He's always been faithful to His word. He's always given the promises. That wouldn't it be silly if I said, well, Lord, I don't believe that you can really save me. How well would I run that race of life? Folks, I believe. I believe that we're running that race of life. I believe that we have to have that faith as part of it. Remember the Israelites. They came right up to the Jordan River, and God says, there's the land that I'm going to show you and give you. And you know what they did? They didn't believe, did they? Did they ever receive it? No. You must believe that Jesus Christ lived, Jesus Christ died for you, that He gave Himself upon that cross that you might have life. Give your life to Him. And run the race well. Well, you may not be called to preach, you may not be called to teach, but that's not the only things to do, folks. You can encourage one another. You see, when I read this passage of Scripture, it says, therefore, and it goes back to chapter 12. In chapter 12, you see the heroes of faith, I call them. I call it the, like Moses. Man, when I see Moses and how he was just a man with the faults that he had, yet God blessed him. He had faith in God. He trusted God. many times we find he was weak in his faith, but yet he trusted God and he came through, and he's listed there in the Hall of Faith. That's the Abraham. And I think of him. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these men all went down that road and they ran that race. And since they finished well, endured this life, and are now in heaven, folks, that encourages me to run my race. You know, we're not perfect, are we? Amen. I'm glad somebody said no. We're not perfect. I just think of the times that I failed God and I've done things that are displeasing to God. And I think, Lord, how in the world can you use me? And yet, I look back at these men's life and I look at Abraham and he wasn't perfect either. And yet he had faith in God. And he kept on running the race that God gave him. Then I think about Rahab mentioned there, just all the faithful guys. And then you know what? I think about those, like Teddy said, that are gone on before me. I could just go through this church and, well, I probably could name a whole bunch of them. I'd probably forget a bunch of them. People that lived their life faithful to God, and I watched God use them in the life of this church and in my life to encourage me. I was telling somebody about one guy. Y'all don't know this guy. Laverne, are you here? You know him. Brother Jim Toms. He told me he voted against me when I first called. You know, I told somebody the other day, you know, when I got a call here 33 years ago, one man voted against me. I didn't want to know who that man was. W.O. asked me, said, well, you don't know who voted against you? I said, no, it really doesn't matter. You see, I came because God led me here. That man was a blessing in my life. That man was a blessing in my life. He set up the bylaws in this church. He sat there for many an hour. He was a wise man. God had given him a gift of doing that kind of stuff, and he worked hard, and he drew up the bylaws of this church and sat down and went over with me. I never will forget, I was in his house. Had a beautiful house down here on the corner. I call it Dead Man's Corner, where it just makes that big circle down there before you go into one road drops off where y'all live in Chanted Oaks, but it's that big brick home next to it on the left. We had Wednesday night service down there for a lot of time. But I was sitting there talking to him one day about writing up these things, and he said, Brother Jones, he said, Brother Booney, he said, I want to tell you something. And I didn't know what he was going to tell me. He said, I voted against you. I said, so? He said, I just wanted to know that. I wanted to let you know that so I could get it off my chest. And I said, Brother Jim, it doesn't matter to me. You know, so you made one mistake in your life. He smiled. Me and him were great friends. Me and him were great friends. I preached his funeral. It was a wonderful relationship. I miss people like that, that had a big part in getting this church started, you see. It's those kind of people that just keep you going when, you know, Monday mornings come, and Monday mornings are hard. But when Monday morning comes, it's reflecting back on those people that had an influence on your life that would encourage your life. Even though they might vote against you, they love you, you see? And you love them. And that's the encouragement we get from one another. And through the years, there's been others probably that wish they'd have voted against me. But that's too late for them, see? They did that. And you know, they made a mistake then, too, probably. We never know, but I felt so called to be here, and I've told myself many times, keep on running, keep on running. Don't quit, Don't quit. There have been days that you want to just throw in the towel and say, hey, let somebody else take over. Let somebody else. But don't quit. I look back, none of them had an easy time. It's not going to be easy. We have to run by faith. Faithlessness has defeated many a Christian. You see? And then Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it requires not only that, it requires us doing some things in our life if we're going to finish the race. One, it says, lay aside the weights that trip us up. There's a lot of things in our life that trip us up, and we've got to be aware of that and stay in tune with that so that it does not trip us up. Some things that may not be evil within themselves, but often they hinder the Lord's work. Now, what on earth am I talking about? Let me take people, for example. One man said when they went back in Luke 14, the Lord, the servant master said, come, I've got the banquet ready. One said, you know, I've got a piece of ground. I must go and see it. You know, that's an excuse, isn't it? He could have saw that piece of ground. He wouldn't have bought it without seeing it. One said, I've got 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go and prove them. One said, I have a wife. He was probably the only one telling the truth, that, and she won't let me come. You see? But too often, we use things like, well, I've got company coming in, preacher, and we just can't come to church. Or too often we say, well, my kids are home, and the kids get in the way. Don't ever put your kids before God. He may take them out. Think about that. There's so many things in our life we have to watch. It's TV programs we watch, or in my case, you know, it might be hunting or sports that we like. All of those things, you have to look at them and see, are they keeping you from doing the running the race that God wants you to run? Lay aside those weights. And it requires patience. Patience is waiting. It's holding out. It's waiting on God to come through in our lives. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. It requires keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. How many of you got your eyes on Christ tonight? So many times we put our eyes, especially on everything else. And, you know, if you're human, you know, as a pastor, I like to hear Jane on Monday morning and Dub and whoever was keeping the record. I like to hear her say, you know, we had a good offering this week, preacher. Boy, that's encouraging. I don't like to hear it, well, we didn't take in very much offering this week. But no matter what, I told Dub many a day, Dub, don't worry about the offering. He is always worried, well, are we going to be able to, don't worry about the offering. It's God's church. And He always has enough, you see. It's not my responsibility, you see. Somebody said, well, you're the pastor, it's your problem. No, it's not. I'm to preach here whether we get paid or not. I'm to preach here whether we can turn on these lights or not. And you're to come. This is your church. God's placed you. And I believe if we do what God has asked us to do, we'll always have enough. You know, it requires focusing on Christ. The only time I remember the story where Peter was walking in the water, he took his eyes off of God and he began to sink. Don't take your eyes off of God. It's God's church. It's God the one that does the provision. It's even God who keeps us alive every day. You see, if it wasn't for God, we'd all be dead. He's got a purpose for this church. He's got a purpose for you. And let me tell you, He's got a purpose for you being here tonight. I don't know exactly what it is, but it requires faith and focusing on God. And then it requires dealing with sin in our life. It says, lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Folks, I don't believe that's one particular sin. I believe it's sin, period. If there's something in your life that's keeping you from walking with God on a daily basis, deal with it. You see? It may be some little sin that's rubbing you in different, and you need to deal with it. It may be some big sin. I don't know. But lay it aside if you want to run the race and run it right and run and finish it with joy. Right now, all I want to do is finish the ministry strong, running with God. I just want to make it through, running with God. I don't want to trip up. I'm like Paul said, let me run the race and finish it without stumbling and falling. So many people, you know, run and they do well, and then all of a sudden they fall because they take their eyes off of Jesus. I've had no telling how many minister friends that have lost their position as pastor because they tripped up. One little sin tripped them up. You see? And the old devil is always there. He can't get your soul, but he can ruin your testimony. Don't let him do that. If there's anything that's, you know, I think of it, I tell my preacher friend, man, if it's the least bit off-colored, if it's the least bit shady, if it's the least bit, don't do it. Don't say it. Just run focused on Jesus Christ. We don't have that many years left. You see? Don't. And it requires the knowledge that we're running a good race. I've got such a crowd of witnesses. I know that they can't. I don't think that they can see from heaven down here. If they did, they would be weeping over the way things are turning out, see, as a sin. But you know what? I have a brother there, and I know he's pulling for me to run the race well. I have an uncle. He's just like a bigger brother. I know he's pulling for me to run the race well. Both of them were concerned for me while I was here or while they were alive. I know they're in heaven today saying, run, Booney, run. Don't quit. Don't give up. Finish the race, you see. And I've got a father there and a brother-in-law there and grandmother and great-grandmother. I've got more there than I've got down here. And you do too. At my age and your age, we've got more in heaven. Lady used to sing a song, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. She was a little lady in our church. I can't remember her name, but I'll never forget that little song. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. And then we're to look to Jesus, the end of the race. Focus our life on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, endured the cross. You know what? It could end right now. It could end right now. He could call us home. Did you know you're just a heartbeat away from eternity? Just a heartbeat away from eternity? If Tom climbs up on my front end of my side-by-side the other day and fell, it was just a slip away. I thought he was gone. I laughed all the way to the ground, but, you know, it can happen in an accident. Really could. It was funny after it happened because he said, you got me back from letting the stand fall on you that time. And I said, yeah, brother. I put this thing in reverse while you was there, and I run it out from under you. But no, it could happen any moment. And boy, that wakes us up. We're not as young as we used to be. I got up yesterday morning and sick. Everything was spinning again. You know, I told Rhonda, I said, I can't sit out here on the back porch. These trees keep turning. Vertigo. But I thought, you know, God is in control of everything we do. And He says, come home, you're going to go home. That's how quick it is, folks. Or He could come back today. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't mind dying, but I'd rather Him call me home in the rapture than you. Amen. We're all that way. But whatever He has for us to do, however we're going to finish our life, guess what? We're to focus on Him and run the race. Don't stop. You know, I like the races around that track. I think it's the 440 and then the mile and all that. And I don't know how far that is, but it's a long way. But I always watch. It's hardly ever the one out in front that wins. Have you noticed that? They're running with all they have, and they run out. And that person behind him always just seems to pass him by. I was watching one guy one time. They were running the race, and he was running it real well. But then he started looking back. You cannot run a race if you start to look back. You'll trip and fall. And as he looked back this way, the guy passed him on that side and won the race. And if he had looked to the end of the finish line and run with all he had, he would have won that race. Folks, don't look back. So many people look back and say, you know, I've got so much garbage behind me, I just don't think I can make it. Jesus Christ says, let it go. Forget the past. Confess it and forget it. If you're here tonight and you made your life, you know, you've got so much junk in your life that you can't run away, those things, take them off. Get rid of them. Let them go. Confess it to Christ. He washes us white as snow. Isn't that wonderful to know that there's nothing that you've done in life that surprises God? And He says, if you'll confess it, you'll come to me, I'll wash your slate clean and forgive you. Man, now that's an offer you can't refuse. He'll forgive you. If you're here tonight and you've been running a race, but you've got too much luggage in it to win it, let it go. Just come to the front and say, Lord, I want to run the race best you have for me, and I'm going to look to you and let go of all those little besetting sins. I got on the race in 1975 when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you've never entered that race, tonight could be the night that you enter the race. It's simply by faith. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life, and then make it public. He will come into your life just like that. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name that we're running the race. And Lord, as a church, let us finish together well. And we'll give you the praise. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you, or Lord, they realize tonight they didn't know you. Lord, may they get with you tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.